Blog Talk Radio.
Again, when we focus on educating, inspiring, and empowering entrepreneurs and small business owners. I am your host, Dynamic Daphne, and as always, it is an amazing privilege for me to be on this broadcast with you again. I send gratitude to my first caller, who is last four digits are 5054, who is already on the switchboard, and guest number 596 in the chat room. I welcome you guys. If you just hang with me a bit, I want to share with you this morning from celebrating 365 days of gratitude, from one of the books that I've been blessed to be one of the co-authors on. And I want to share three entries. The first one comes from an author called Tizopra Whiskey. And this entry is titled Under the Wire. I know that I feel calmer when I attend to tasks early. When there is plenty of time to complete them, I know the stress that comes from working on an important project at the last minute. Still, I am a procrastinator and put things off until hours before the deadline expires. I once read that Duke Ellington was like that. He would party for 2 weeks and then produce brilliant compositions a day before the scheduled recording session. Right now, I'm writing my entry for this book with little time to spare under the wire. That's because under the wire is when I do some of my best work. In gratitude to the nervous energy and intense concentration that come from working under the wire, I submit this piece. Thanks to the challenge. You know, I listened to this author's contribution, and what I'm taking away from this is the fact that the author learn the lesson. Not that the author enjoyed being a procrastinator, but they took the lesson out of that. The next, and that was the entry for July 24th. So if you are the owner of the book, you can read along with me. The next entry I'm going to read is the entry for today, July 26th, from an author by the name of Susan, and the last name is spelled G-O-C-H-E-N-O-U-E-R. And this title is Forward Gratitude. Each day, I begin by expressing gratitude for things I have yet to receive. Instead of waiting for something to appear, I attract it into my life by expressing gratitude and faith that it is already mine. Aloud, sometimes chanting, I may affirm my gratitude for the sunshine that will flow, that will follow the rain, creating perfect weather through my attention and intention. Or my gratitude may compass financial stability, the publication of future books, perfect health, or most especially health and prosperity for family and friends. And yes, unpleasant things still appear in my life, no matter how positive my thoughts. But I look for one thing in each situation for which I can be grateful. If the kitchen floods, I am grateful that I woke up early and walked into the puddle before the floor was ruined. If I receive a rejection notice for one of my stories, I am grateful that the editor made an encouragement comment about my writing style. In my forward gratitude, I deliberately create the space and the positive energy each day that attracts miracles into my life. I am grateful for the universe's perfect circle of gratitude and receiving. I also am going to share the gratitude for tomorrow, which is July 26th, and then I'm going to have a talk with my caller on, and then we are going to go into the conversation for today. Keep Believing in Love is the title of this one. A man once told me he'd been married 7 times. Others listened, scoffed at him, and thought he'd fail. I was in awe at how much he believed in love, as I did never been married, and in 2011, my hopes and dreams were realized as I married for the first time just weeks before my 48th birthday. Well, congratulations. The wedding and everything since have exceeded my dreams. I am grateful beyond measures that I waited until this age. I have more wisdom, appreciation, kindness, and respect within me and with him. I am grateful for the endless prayers, begging, I did with God for my prince. I am grateful for all the frogs I kissed and all the rocks I looked under, for they gave me contrast and knowledge I needed to recognize him when I saw him. I am grateful for the loneliness that taught me how to appreciate my own company and to be whole and complete before he arrived. And I am grateful for the amazing energy that started when we wed and for what I now feel as his wife, happily ever after begins. And this is entry came from Kwame Bell. Again, if you have not yet purchased your copy of Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude, you may do so on Amazon and most of the bookstores, or even from my website. So, I want to welcome this caller. I'm going to go on and have them introduce themselves. Caller, good morning. Your last four digits are 5054. Do you care to say your name and who you are and where you're calling from?
Yeah, my name is Keisha. I'm a caller from Washington State.
Hi, Keisha. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I am wonderful. Is this your first time listening to the show?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, well, welcome, welcome, welcome. What made you join us this morning?
Well, I am thinking about starting my own business. So I started, you know, going through BTR to see, just to see what you guys with the accomplished entrepreneurs have been saying about starting businesses and, you know, whatnot. So I just decided to, you know, to come in and see and sit with you to see what you're saying about, you know, businesses and any pointers I may need, or, you know.
Okay.
So I haven't really started it, but I'm really like kind of getting all my information together and kind of really seriously thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Are you working with a coach?
No, I have to, No.
The answer is no. Well, if you're not, that's okay. You're here at the right place this morning. And I want to encourage you to sign up to follow me on the show and follow me on Twitter and Facebook and all those places. And if you're ever looking for a coach to work with you, I am available. However,
okay.
I do pray that you'll get a few nuggets this morning, because the Wednesday show focuses on the education, inspiration, and empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. So I am going to mute your line as I get into the conversation. And if for any reason you would like to say something, you just raise your hand and I will open your line. Okay, Miss Keisha?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. And I get your pen and paper, because I have a few research here that I'm going to be dealing with, and they should have some good nuggets for you.
Okay.
Okay. So I am very excited. I want to welcome Divas Can We Talk to the show. Good morning and welcome to the show. We are going to be, I decided this morning that we want to, as a matter of fact, I had a guest on who was a very, very prominent person in the entrepreneurial arena. And she canceled last night. So I decided we are going to go into the conversation as entrepreneurs this morning. And I did the research and found some great information. Although some of the information I found was done in 1999, but as I looked through them, they're still relevant to what we're doing today. So here are some of the questions that I had asked. Have you been wondering why you are still stagnant in your business? Who should I connect with to build business relationships? Should I really ask for help in the areas I am not strong in? Should you or should I know all there is to know to be successful? So those are the questions I had posed out there. And please feel free to call in. The number to call is 646 646- 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. So just a word from one of our sponsors.
SuperFastLinkBuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
All right, so check them out and see, you know, whether they can help push you forward on the search engines. I have a great research that I found here which deals with essentials on entrepreneurship. I also have something that is dealing with seizing the opportunities and creating trends. And I'm going to share that first. This is from Entrepreneur Magazine in the Philippines, and the article says seizing opportunities created by trends. And as entrepreneurs, that's what we do. That's what fuel us. And I want to read what this. This article says. It's by an entrepreneurial staff. It was written September 29th, 2011. And it reads, a major challenge for entrepreneurs and a veritable path to success for them is to develop the ability to spot, seize, and harness opportunities created by trends. As trends, a trend is simple, what's in. Also, is the popular local term for it, says Louise Mayo F. Wilhelmina, owner and manager, director of Synergy System, a company that specializes in organizational development and total quality people management. And a trend can cut across all ages, gender, and beliefs. It's simply any of those products, services, or styles that the greater number of customers accept and buy because it enhances their personality, their well-being, and their social status. A trend, of course, isn't necessarily good or bad. It's just what rocks during a particular period. And I tell you, that's like, you know, it's like these words are like symphony playing, you know, at a concert to the ears of an entrepreneur, because we always want to rock our customers and clients. Velelina, whose company also develops e-learning platforms and business solutions, suggests that entrepreneurs ought to be always on the lookout for emerging trends. Right now, for instance, there's the steady growth of technology-based products and outsourcing services. He says, another interesting one is trade-up services, where with the addition of few pesos, you can exchange something older for something new. In fact, you can now trade up almost anything from cell phones to vehicles. So, how can entrepreneurs become better transporters? And how can they make trends work to their advantage? Vilma suggests four ways. Be sensitive. Today, although customers' preferences shift at much faster speed than before, there's always a main factor that determines whether a product or service will make a mark in the market. Velalina says that fact is customer acceptance. In my book, The Emergency of a Trend always boils down to the customer's acceptance. If the product or service suits customers' preferences, it is bound to make a positive noise in the market. Velalina emphasizes that the entrepreneur should anticipate possible trends by doing strategic research and the prevailing and future needs and wants of his or her customers. The key to success is doing this, of course, developing a sensitivity to customers' preferences, he says. The second point, push the product. The entrepreneur should push a new product or service by convincing customers of its benefits. And Velomina says, this is where branding can be of great help. To capture the preferences of customers, you need to create or push a brand with a unique message that has high recall, he explains. He tells the story of how the iPod and iPhone were marketed to illustrate this point. When the iPod was released a few years ago, it was pretty obvious that there were competing brands that were far better than the product, especially in terms of features and functional Okay, give me a minute there. He tells the story of how the iPod and iPhone were marketed to illustrate this point. When the iPod was released a few years ago, it was pretty obvious that there were competing brands that were far better than that product, especially in terms of features and functionality. But its manufacturer, Apple, marketed the iPod to create the idea in the prospective user's mind that possessing an iPod meant you were cool and that being cool meant that you were in. The coolness fear thus took the market by storm. So many people bought the iPod so they could also be perceived as cool. And this year, with the manufacturers following the same marketing formula, the same thing happened with the iPhone. Even months before it was officially released to the market. Number 3, ride on productivity. When a product or service creates a trend in the market, many other products or services begin to ride on its popularity. Observes Velalina. Look at how many Filipinos, micro-businesses, and entrepreneurs have anchored themselves on the popularity of the iPod. So many new products have emerged as a result. iPod casting, cases, pouches, straps, dangles, and new iPod look alike. And all are doing brisk business. This is classic example of the ability to spot what's in and then taking advantage of it. I'm going to share the last point in this article, then I'm going to go back to the switchboard and open the phone lines for questions. The last point here in Villanima's suggestion is keep your eyes peeled. Villanima explains that the iPod story says it all about the need to keep your eyes peeled for new trendy products and services. The entrepreneur needs to learn to spot the signal as to which among the current products still set the trend. In the iPod's case, it was what people were talking about. It was what customers wished they had, regardless of whether they really needed it. It was what customers looked for. It was what others were already crazy about. And it was also what the kids were playing with. All the unmistakable signs of a strong trend. Beautiful, beautiful article. And I'm going to go back to the chat room. I want to ask my colleague, Diva, let's talk. What you thought about that article? And I'm also going to open Keisha's phone line. I know this should have been music to Keisha's ears because she's just getting ready to go start her company. So this should be valid information. So I'm going to go to Keisha and Diva, let's talk. If you would like to call in and chime in to this conversation before I go to the next article, I would appreciate it. So, Miss Keisha. Keisha, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Hello?
What's your thought on the article I just shared?
Wow, that's what can I say? What I was really thinking was about my product. Now, how can I market my product as being cool to get the attention of the youth?
Exactly.
Because I think those are the ones that's just buying everything are the youth
in between
the teenagers and the 20s, the younger 20s,
mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
And
I was saying. As a new person who is going to start a company, you haven't yet started. But for you to come on the show this morning and get this bit of information, it is giving you insight before you even open the door. So you can go back to the drawing board now and say, what's trendy about my product or service that I can attract the 20, 25-year-old age group that I want to?
Right.
You know? So I'm
right.
A strong believer that nothing, Keisha, happens by accident because for the guests to cancel last night, for me to do the research about today's show and to find this information and for having you come on the show this morning to get access to that, I think it's a blessing.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking the same thing. Maybe that was for me.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I did the research and I have 3 articles and I said, you know, ooh, this seizing the opportunity ought to be the best one. for me to share. And it's amazing. It's amazing because there's so much out there that can shorten the learning curve for us, and we don't have to rip our hair out because there's so much that is accessible to us as entrepreneurs now.
Thanks to the internet. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks to the internet. Thanks to the internet. And this is why I encourage each and every entrepreneur, get a website, get on the internet, because we are no longer only doing business in our zip code and local area. We have the world that is available to us. So I'm going to I'll put you back on mute, Keisha. Is there anything
okay.
you would like to say?
No, I'm just paying attention and taking in all the information which is placing out there in the universe.
Okay, great. And if you know anybody else that you can text and tell them to join the show, please do so.
Okay.
Okay, so Diva, let's talk. Is there anything you would like to add to this part of the conversation before? If you don't want to call in because maybe you can't, you can type it in the chat room before I go to the next article that I wanted to share. So you can just type Diva, let's talk, and let me know if you would like to add anything to the conversation about the first article that I shared. Okay, maybe not, but if and when, again, I'm going to go to this article about... Let me see which one I should share first. Everything is so good. I think I'll have to go do a part two. We're going to do this one again. Entrepreneurship education, emerging trends and challenges for the 21st century. This was done by the Coleman Foundation White Paper Series in 2003. Although it was done that long ago, it is still relevant, what I saw here. The author is Donald F. Kuruku, the Entrepreneurship Program, College of Business, Ball State University, in Munich, Indiana. And here is what the author has to say. Rediscovering enterprise. Perhaps the phenomena we are witnessing now has less to do with action or risk taking than with simple observation that people, not institutions, create economic wealth. In this respect, perhaps the entrepreneurship is leading all the corporate America to rediscovery of business as enterprise, a rediscover of business as a process limited only by boundaries of each individual's intelligence, imagination, energy, and daring. That is so true. The force of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is a dynamic process of vision, change, and creation. It requires an application of energy and passion towards the creation and implementation of new ideas and creative solutions. Essential ingredients including the willingness to take calculated risks in terms of time, equity, or career, the ability to formulate an effective venture, team, the creative skill to marshal needed resources and fundamental skills of building solid business plan. And finally, the vision to recognize opportunity where others see chaos. contradiction on confusion. Entrepreneurship is more than the mere creation of business, although that is certainly as important a facet. It's not the complete picture. The characteristics of seeking opportunities, taking risk beyond security, and having tenacity to push on idea through to reality combine into special perspective that permeates entrepreneurs. An entrepreneurial perspective can be developed in individuals. This perspective can be exhibited inside or outside an organization, in profit or not-for-profit enterprises, and in business or non-business activities for the purpose of bringing forth creative ideas. Thus, entrepreneurship is an integrated concept that permeates an individual's business in an innovative manner. It is this perspective that has revolutionized the way business is conducted at every level in every country. Inc. magazine reported on the cover of one issue some time ago that America is once again becoming a nation of risk takers. And the way we do business will never be the same. So it is. The revolution has begun in an economic sense, and the entrepreneurial perspective is the dominant force. The past decade has witnessed the powerful emergence of entrepreneurial activity in the United States. Many statistics illustrated this fact. For example, during the past 10 years, new business incorporations average 600,000 per year. Although many of these incorporations may have previously been sole proprietorships or partnership, the trend still demonstrates that the popularity of venture activities, whether it was through startup expansion or development. More specifically, 807,000 new small firms were established in 1995. An all-time record. Since 1998, Fortune 500 companies have lost more than 5 million jobs, but more than 34 million new jobs have been created. In 1996, small business created 1.6 million new jobs. 15% of the fastest growing new firms, that is, Gazelles, accounted for 94% of the net job creation, and less than one-third of these Gazelles were involved in high technology. Small business, that is those with fewer than 500 employees, employed 53% of the private workforce and accounted for 47% of sales and 51% of private sector gross domestic products. GPD, 16% of all U.S. firms have been in existence for less than 1 year. 67% of all new inventions are created by small firms. And this is a study that came from Reynolds, Hay, and Camp in 1999. And we know that this number has skyrocketed since that. It will be interesting to locate a more recent study. Given these findings, it would seem safe to assume that new firms with employees may number more than 600,000 in a given year, and that another couple of million new business entities in the form of self-employed may also come into being each year. Approximately one new firm with employees is established every year for every 300 adults in the United States. As a typical new firm has less than two owners, managers, one of every 150 adult participates in the founding of new firms each year. Substantially, more than 1 in 12 are involved in trying to launch a new firm. That's you, Keisha. The next result, then, is that the United States has a very robust level of firm creation. Among the 6 million establishments, single and multi-site firms, the employees, approximately 600,000 to 800,000, are added each year. That translates into an annual birth rate of 14 to 16 per 100 existing establishments. Reynolds, Hay, and Camp. This research was done in 2000. The United States has achieved its highest economic performance during the last 10 years by fostering and promoting entrepreneurial activity. According to Kuraku and Hodgetts, 2004, the U.S. success has at least three entrepreneurial components. First, large firms that existed in mature industries have adopted, downsized, restructured, and reinventing themselves during the 1990s and are now thriving. Large businesses have adopted and learned and become more entrepreneurial. As large firms have become learner, their sales and profits have increased sharply. For example, General Electric cut its workforce by 40% from more than 400,000 20 years ago to fewer than 240,000 workers in 1996, while sales increased fourfold from less than $20 billion to nearly $80 billion over the same period. This goal was accomplished in many cases by returning to the firm's core competency and by contracting out functioning formerly done in-house to small firms. That's what we call outsourcing. Second, while these large companies have been transforming themselves, new entrepreneurial companies have been blossoming. 20 years ago, Nucor Steel was a small steel manufacturer with few hundred employees. It embraced a new technology called thin slab casting, allowing it to thrive while other steel companies were stumbling. Nucor grew to 59,000 employees with sales of $3.4 billion and a net income of $274 million. Newer entrepreneurial companies, some of which did not exist 25 years ago, have collectively created 1.5 million new jobs during the past decade. So That is very, very good information. Third, thousands of small firms have been founded, including many established by women, minorities, and immigrants. These new companies have come from every sector of the economy and every part of the country. Together, these small firms make a forbidden contribution to the economy, as many firms have hired one or two employees together to create more than 1 million net new jobs during the decade of the 1990s. In summary, entrepreneurial firms make two indispensable contributions to the United States economy. First, they are an integral part of the renewal process that pervades and defines market economy and social mainstream of American society. Small businesses enable millions of people, including women, minorities, and immigrants, to access the American dream. The greatest source the U.S. strength has always been the American dream of economic growth, equal opportunity, and upward mobility. In this evolutionary process, entrepreneurship plays a critical and indispensable role of providing the social glue that binds together both high-tech and main street activities. Small business administrators shared this fact back in 1998. Yet, Stevenson, in a study in 2000, warned, with benefits of hindsight, the opportunity of the last 20 years is evident. An entrepreneurial revolution has occurred. Some of the early volunteers have had the most exciting time. The danger lies in presuming that the future is without challenge. Researching the entrepreneurship process. Let me go check in with my guests here to see if they want to say anything. Diva, can we talk? Type something and let's see if you want to say. Let me check in with Keisha. Hello, Miss Keisha.
Hello?
Yes, I'm checking in with you. How are things so far? Is there anything you would like to add? Or
I can't even add nothing. It's like you got so much information. It's like I got to take a little time and kind of digest it all. But I hear you. I really don't know how to really come back with anything because it's a lot of information. Yeah.
That's right. And I tell you what, Keisha, at the end of the show, you can go and you can download this. And you can have it, and you can listen it as you work on your project.
Okay.
All right. So I'll check in with you momentarily. I don't want to just leave you hanging.
All right. I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay. Yes. And Diva, let's talk. You can type if you want to add something. I don't see you typing, so I'm taking it that you're listening to. So let's go in here. Researching the entrepreneurial process. Researchers are continually striving to learn more about the entire entrepreneurial process. To better understand the driving force within entrepreneurs, Bygrave and Hoffer, 1991, Bull and Willard, 1993, and Gartner, 2001. Three major sources of information supply the data related to the entrepreneurial process and perspective. The first source of publication research based as well as popular. The following are among the more important of these publications. Academic journals. These are referred journals that contain articles dealing with research, methodology, results, and application of research that are well designed and tightly structured. Example, included in the Journal of Small Business Management, Entrepreneurship Theory and Practice, Journal of Business Entrepreneurship, Journal of Business Venturing, Strategic Management Journal, Journal of Small Business Strategy, Academic of Management Review, and Academic of Management Executive. That's for you, Keisha. We're the places that you can go and find wealth of information to help you. Textbooks on entrepreneurship. These texts typically address the development and operation of small firms and entrepreneurial organization sectors or chapters are frequently devoted to research on entrepreneurs. Examples include Entrepreneurship Theory, Process Practice in 2004 by Donald F. Corrado and Richard M. Hosgett. New Ventures Creation 2002 by Jeffrey A. Timmons and Strategic Entrepreneurial Growth in 2004 by Donald Kyoto again and Harold P. Walsh. Books about entrepreneurship. Most of these books are written as practitioners. How to guide. Some deal with the problems facing the individual who starts a business. Others deal with a specific aspect of this subject. Example including Startup in 1992 by William J. Stoltz, In the Owner's Chair 1992 by Ronald W. Torrance, and The Business Planning Guide in 1995 by David N. Banks. Biographies and autobiographies of entrepreneurs. Examples included Our Business at the Speed of Thought. And this was done by Bill Gates in 1999. And Radical and Visionary 2000 by Theodos Warrow. Compendiums about entrepreneurs. These are collections that deal with several selected individuals or what are that present statistical information or overviews of perceived general trends. Examples include The Entrepreneurs, 1994 by Robert Sobel, which is a compendium of information about selected living entrepreneurs, and John Chamberlain, Enterprise in America, 1963, which provides summary of trends. New periodicals, many newspapers and new periodicals run stories on entrepreneurs either regularly or periodically. Examples include Business Week, Forbes, and Fortune, and the Wall Street Journal. Venture periodicals. A growing number of new magazines are concerned specifically with new business ventures. Most, if not all, of each issue contents are related to entrepreneurship. Examples include Back Enterprise, Entrepreneur, FBS Inc., and Family Business. Newsletters. A number of newsletters are devoted exclusively to entrepreneurship. The Liaison newsletter from the U.S. Association for Small Business and Entrepreneurship is an example. Preceding conferences. Publications related to annual periodical conferences deal with at least in part with entrepreneurship. Examples included Proceedings of the Academic of Management, Proceedings of the International Council of Small Business, Proceedings of the U.S. Association of Small Business and Entrepreneurship, and Frontiers in Entrepreneurship Research, Proceedings of the Babson College Annual Entrepreneurship Research. So, those are, I'm going to go to a section of the other article, and I think this part would be good for you here. Let me see. Emerging times. Emerging themes in entrepreneurship research and education. Yes. So we gave you some places where you can, you know, get documentation about the insights and trends of entrepreneurship. Now we're going to do some emerging themes in entrepreneurship research and education. As we continue to study and teach in the field of entrepreneurship, it is important to note that research and educational development that have occurred over the past few years, the major themes that characterize recent research about entrepreneurs and new venture creation can be summarized as follows. Number one, the entrepreneurial and managerial domains are not mutually exclusive, but overlap to a certain extent. The former is more opportunity-driven, and the latter is more resource and conversational-driven. That's from Stewart in 1999. Number two, venture financing include both venture capital and angel capital finances, as well as other innovative financing techniques emerging in the 1990s with the unprecedented strength, fueling another decade of entrepreneurship. Shepard and Zach Marisky, 2001 and 2003. Number three, entrepreneurship. Incorporate entrepreneurship and the need for entrepreneurial cultures have gained much attention during the past few years. Zachra, Corito and Jennings, 1999. Corito, Ireland. Hornsby, 2001. Morrison, Corito, 2000. Those are the researchers. Number four, entrepreneurial strategies have been identified that show some important common denominators, issues, and trade-offs between entrepreneurship strategy. Hint, Ireland, Camp, and Soxton in 2001. Number five, the variety among types of entrepreneurs and the methods they have used to achieve success have motivated research on a psychological aspect that can predict future success. Kick, Skull, and Grumdy, 2002. Number six, the risk and trade-off of entrepreneurial career, particularly its demanding and stressful nature, have been subject to keen research. Interest relevant to would-be and practicing entrepreneurs alike. McGough in 2002. Number 7, women and minority entrepreneurs have emerged in unprecedented numbers. They appear to face obstacles and difficulties different from those that other entrepreneurs face. This study was, this research was done by Gundry, Welsh, 2001, Chakanti and Green, 2002, Green and PC Hart, M.M. Getwood, E.J. Bush, C.J. and Carter, M.N. in 2003. The entrepreneurial spirit is universal. Judging by the enormous growth of increase in entrepreneurial around the world in the past few years. Pinto 2001, McDougall PP, and Ovet BM 2003. Number 9, the economy and social contributions of entrepreneurs, new companies, and family businesses have been shown to make immensely disproportionate contributions to job creation, innovation, and economic renewal compared with the contributions that the 500 or so largest companies make. Upton Teal and Fallon 2001, Chrisman J.C., Kunta J.H., and Shama P. 2003. Number 10, entrepreneurial education has become one of the hottest topics at the U.S. business and emerging school. The number of schools teaching new venture or similar courses has grown from a few of 2,000 20 years ago to more than 1,600 at this present time. Salmon 2002 and Kals 2003. Additional number of major academic institutions have developed programs in entrepreneurial research, and every year, Babson College conducts a symposium titled Frontiers in Entrepreneurship Research on one of the campuses since 1981. The conference has provided an outlet for the latest development of entrepreneurship. In 2000, the National Consortium of Entrepreneurship Center, NCEC, was founded for the purpose of continued collaboration among the established entrepreneurship centers, as well as the newer emerging centers, to work together to share information, develop special projects, and assess each other in advancing and improving their center's impact. The consortium also established the 21st Century Entrepreneurship Research Fellows. This growing collection of scholars in the field of entrepreneurship have developed a mission to identify leading-edge research issues and domains and develop high-profile research initiatives that demonstrates the high level of scholarship to entrepreneurship centers and the academic community at large. The consortium has become the focal point for entrepreneurship centers across the United States to continue advancement of entrepreneurship excellence. Most of the university centers for entrepreneurship has focused on three major areas: entrepreneurial education, 1, 2, outreach activities with entrepreneurs, and 3, entrepreneurial research. These centers have been and will most likely continue to be the leaders in developing entrepreneurial research. Today, the trend is most universities is to develop or expand entrepreneurship program and design a unique, challenging curricula specifically designed for entrepreneurship students, more significantly. Nationally recognition is now being given to the top entrepreneurial schools through awards such as the USASBE National Mobile Programs and the national rankings such as these done by the U.S. News and World Report on Entrepreneur magazine. With all of those factors in mind, we now examine the emerging entrepreneurship education. All right. So there we are with the data. And I think this is a lot of information, and with the data and where to find the researches and things like that. And I think we are stagnant because, bottom line, we sometimes become lazy. But you heard both in the first article where I share about seizing opportunity, and this article that I just share with the different researches and things like that, you heard mention of outsourcing. Although we are one person, most of us are one person operation, we don't need to appear as if we are one person operation, because we can do outsourcing, and that will set us up to compete with the large businesses as well, because we are not pulling out our hair trying to do everything by ourselves. So let us utilize outsourcing so we can free ourselves up to do what we enjoy doing. For me, I enjoy meeting people and talking. So my paperwork, my phone calls, and everything like that does well through an outsourcing person, because that's what they enjoy doing. That's their skills and that is their talent. So if you are just joining me, I want you to know that feel free to call in at any time to be part of this conversation. I want to take a quick commercial break.
Hello and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right, so if you have any questions or anything you want to say, any feedback or anything you want to say from the information I've shared thus far, I want you to call 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. If you're in the chat room, feel free to type your question. If you're on the phone line, feel free to raise your hand. So now I'm going to share from another research I found, synthesis of lessons learned. And this was from an evaluation that was done in 1999. And the topic is essentials, entrepreneurship development. Background: a worldwide consensus on the critical role of competitive markets and entrepreneurs in the economic development has emerged in the last decade. In developing countries, the primary barrier of economic growth is often not so much a scarcity of capital, labor, or land, as it is a scarcity of both the dynamic entrepreneurs that can bring these together and the markets and mechanism that can facilitate them in this task. Concept. Entrepreneurship can be defined as the process of using private initiative to transform a business concept into a new venture, or to grow and diversify the existing venture or enterprise with high growth potential. Entrepreneurs identify an innovation to seize an opportunity, mobilize money and management skills, and to take calculated risk to open markets for few products, process, and services. Lessons learned. 1. Begin with a clear understanding of the feasibility and objects of the program, focusing on the development of ventures with the potential for rapid growth. There is a pervasive tendency to equate entrepreneurship development with self-employment. Many self-employed individuals are indeed entrepreneurs, but the majority are not. Their businesses are simply micro enterprises in the infomercial sector with little growth potential. The promotion of self-employment is a worthwhile objective, but it should not be confused with the entrepreneurship development programs that is really focused only on self-employment or less likely to succeed in creating economic growth. What to do? Determine from the start whether the real focus is entrepreneurship or self-employment. Then decide on the objects accordingly. Entrepreneurship development should be about helping people start and grow dynamic businesses that provide high value added. In determining the difference, it is useful to look at potential growth sectors or geographic areas and to explore criteria for selecting beneficiaries who are entrepreneurial, a needs assessment before program formulation is useful. An analysis of high growth economic sectors enables more focused support to entrepreneurs in the most promising sector of the economy. To identify risk and determine the likelihood of success, identify the factors that affect the levels of entrepreneurship in a country. These factors include the perception of opportunity degree and degree of respect according to entrepreneurs, acceptance of wide disparities in income, and a selection of those who are most likely to succeed as entrepreneurs. should be based on clear and transparent criteria. For example, entrepreneurs are characterized by the need to be independent, to create value, to contribute to family and society, to become rich, or quite often not to be unemployed. Potential entrepreneurs display initiative and ambition, having business sense and foresight, and are decisive. They are agents of change who accelerate the generation application and spread on innovative ideas. Most businesses are conventional, started by men aged 25 to 44. Focus programs to encourage entrepreneurship in other groups are effective means of increasing the volume of entrepreneurial activity. Promising entrepreneurs should be nurtured and helped to serve as a role models and mentors to their communities. Measures to target groups rather than individuals can negate income equality and be effective in empowering disadvantaged groups, especially women, youth, and minorities. For example, the formation of voluntary cooperative allows groups of prospective entrepreneurs to help each other. Examples: UNDP and the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development have had good success with the MPCDOS by Technologia program for stimulating enterprising persons to build enterprise, which started in Latin America and is now in African countries. The relative success of the MPC program is these regions is due to large measures of this careful selected person with enterprise and initial motivational source. The source of this information came from the United Nations Economic and Social Council. And that's the acronym is ECOSOC. The evaluation of the UNDP ILO Women's Entrepreneurship Project in Nepal found that group formation among women entrepreneurs who live near to one another, for example, in the form of a credit and savings group, means that credit facilities which may otherwise not be available can be tapped, and that women can organize relatively relevant social business opportunity surveys may provide advice to entrepreneurs. But they must be analyzed in the context of the specific market situation in each case to determine market potential. It is useful to conduct a needs assessment or demand survey before program formulation. The final decision should remain with the potential entrepreneurs without undue pressure from the project or the ED sponsor. Checking in again with my audience, I want to welcome guest Doc Veja, Egypt Matt, and guest 838. Feel free to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. And I encourage you to check the earlier portion of the show. We had shared some information about season opportunities and some great information there on research for entrepreneurs and where you can find. And I also welcome and encourage you, my guests in the chat room, if you have some information that you can share pertaining to the questions I have, I welcome your input by calling 646-915-8166. So I welcome each and every one of you to the show and look forward to your participation. Again, 646-915-8166. We still have 38 minutes remaining in the show. So I'm giving my guests in the chat room a little opportunity. If they have any input in the conversation, please just type for me so I know whether you have anything you want to put in. You can type yes or no, and that would be fine. And then I would go back to the information I'm sharing. Essentials for entrepreneurs. Okay, so we are going to go right back there. All right. We want to continue on this. And I'm going to just pick out some of the other important facets here to give you. All right, what to do. So let us talk about all right, so this is great information here. And I want to encourage you to follow me on Facebook because I'm going to share these articles, the research I found here on Facebook. So it will help you to be able to take notes and just have some good research for you to guide you along. I'm so glad that Keisha came today and that I was able to pass some information her way that will help her to do what she is doing. All right, so let us look at Yeah, we're talking about lessons learned, and we talk about that. Begin with a clear understanding. Want to talk about develop a criteria to select carefully the target group that is the most entrepreneurial. Entrepreneurship development programs require a selective process that attempts to identify those target groups that have some of the key prerequisites for entrepreneurial success. While it can be argued that public funds should be spent on those who most need help, the selection process deploys limiting resources where they can most effective to overall benefit of the community. Beneficiaries may be involved in the group. All right. I just feel led to go back to the phone lines and to the chat room. We have a caller, and I want to go to the caller. I'm glad I got the inclination to come over. So I want to caller, welcome. Your first three digits are 678. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, good morning, Daphne. My name is Doc Vaj, and I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hello, Doc. Welcome, and thanks for joining me.
You're welcome, and I only had popped in just a few minutes before, but because of your topic, because I, too, am a woman of color, I wanted to interject something that you may have already covered in your earlier shows or even earlier today, but it's a vital thing for people of color to recognize if they are going to enjoy success, whether it's a local marketplace or a global marketplace.
That is so powerful. But you know something, Doc?
Mm-hmm.
This is such a timely insight that, and I'm going to, we have another lady on the line, Keisha. I'm going to open Keisha's phone line so she can have, we have 33 minutes remaining. And I think we sisters and anybody else who feel desire to calling can call in and chime in.
Mm-hmm.
This is such an on time statement for you to make. And it doesn't matter how many times that has been covered.
Mm-hmm.
People need to hear this continuously. Because women, we walk around with so much baggages,
mm-hmm,
and so much inferiority complex. So I'm just so thankful. And I want to ask you,
mm-hmm,
when did you get that aha moment about a woman of color enjoying success and we can be as successful as any other entrepreneur. I want to allow you the opportunity to speak on that a bit, my sister. And Keisha, feel welcome to chime in if you so desire. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be clear, because clarity is the missing element for most of us, no matter what color our skins are.
That's
but
right.
The factor that people of color really have to begin considering and taking action on is that no matter what our experiences have been, our beliefs about ourselves, the root beliefs about ourselves, are very unconscious. And until we are willing to detach from the idea of only doing business with black people, we will suffer beyond all ability to measure, because on the whole, our people have such a hate and distrust for each other that if we limit the spectrum of our entrepreneurship only to our people, not only will we stay broke, we will wind up hating each other more and more.
Whew, my God. You know something, Doc?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, what's your work? What's your line of work, my sister?
I work for the universe. I am a mystic. I am a cosmic being here on the planet, knowing what ails humanity, and my job is simply to deliver truth without judgment, condemnation, or attack, because you cannot make people hear you or feel you, but at least they'll never be able to say they never heard it before.
That's right. You and I need to talk offline.
Wonderful.
We need to talk offline. It's not by accident. This is the first time you listen to my show, right?
I have blog talk shows. I've got all kind of stuff going on, but the universe, and I don't really do this anymore, but mm-hmm, I was sitting here trying to disconnect, not try, because I don't use that word try. I was disconnecting mm-hmm from some energy that is not mm-hmm headed anywhere. Spirit
mm-hmm
says, okay, get on, plop down here, check your downloads from last week,
mm-hmm,
and then here you were next. So I never disavow Spirit. Now, I might bitch and moan, but when Spirit
yeah
says do this, I just do it, and it always yields something.
That, you and I, and
mm-hmm,
we got to talk offline. We must talk offline. I hope you have a couple of minutes after the show where we can
talk
offline.
Oh, certainly. I will, because
you know,
everything is in divine order. I believe
yes
as you do, yes.
That's right. I'm going to write your number down, and I'm going to call you when I get off the show. Because talk about divine order and obedience. The other sister who is on the phone, I think she's from Philadelphia. Her name is Keisha. Sister Keisha is on the phone today. She's not yet an entrepreneur, but she's looking to set up her business. Doc, you want to know, I guess I was supposed to have one canceled last night at 11 o'clock.
Oh, God.
I did the research, and I said, God, you want me to just rock this morning. I did the research. I selected three pieces of information I wanted to use in my dialogue this morning. The first one I decided I was going to use pertaining to Keisha that's on the phone that is looking to set up her business.
Okay.
So what if she was not obedient in turning up here? She would have missed that wealth of information.
That's true.
I want to ask her, chime in, Keisha. We have 28 minutes, and I want to also encourage Egypt, Matt, who is also in the chat room. You know, feel free to call in and join in into this conversation or type something in the chat room. Let's get a feel of what you got to say about all that's happening here. So, Keisha, I want to give you an insight, I mean, an opportunity to say something about what Doc, how do you pronounce it, Doc?
Vaj. Well, Vaj, V-A-J, Vaj.
Yeah, Doc Vaj has said, what's your feeling about that, Keisha?
Well, yeah, I was like, well, maybe when she said that, because I was thinking about going with just thinking about different people I can go with. And as she said, don't just deal with black people. Now I was like, well, maybe I need to go in that direction. And because I have like a couple other people who I'm kind of looking at, maybe I should kind of bring them in and kind of helping me with this. And now that she says that, because a lot of times I do kind of veer off to, you know, I want to help my sister or my brother. But now that she said that, so maybe I need to open up my horizon, I guess. Open up myself to other and new experiences and just bring this other person in so that, you know, I can at least, you know, step outside of my comfort zone, I guess, and learn different ways of doing things.
Are you a woman of color, too?
Yeah. I don't sound black. Oh, my goodness. I'm
no,
not
you
that.
Don't,
yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Oh,
it's
no,
a good
no,
thing.
No, 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 no. Keisha, we want to cancel that, baby. We just cancel what you just said because black don't have a sound. Black is a color.
Amen. That's right. You're right.
All right. So black ain't got no sound, baby girl. Can I tell you a little bit about me?
Sure.
You know, I was born and raised in Jamaica, West Indies.
Oh, God, my country.
Girl, where are you from?
Oh, God, I have a thing for the Caribbean men,
oh,
honey. They're
oh,
just
honey,
wonderful.
Let me tell you something. Keisha, I had no idea I was black until I came to America.
I believe that.
You hear me?
You know what? I heard that before. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, it's really, it's a lot of lines of color. And even me, now that I got older, 35 now, I'm really getting, it's really in my brain, this color thing. And I'm like, really wish I can go back to when I was a teenager when I really didn't have that. But, you know, I don't know, the way this country is set up, you can't help but to see the color lines. Everywhere
you know,
I go, I see
Keisha?
A color line.
Keisha? You really need to hire me as your coach, girl. Before you do anything else, you need to hire me as your coach. We got to flush this plunger out. We got to plunge, baby girl. But listen, let me tell you something. I live in Connecticut, okay? And I am very involved in my community. I believe in paying forward. Okay?
Right.
And the media in this state and where I live has done me well. Okay?
Okay.
And when I go to the post office and I go to the supermarket or I'm walking in the town, who you think come up to me and tap me on the shoulder or stop promptly in front of me and says, you were the lady in the newspaper, right? And I said, yes. And they said, congratulations and thank you for the work that you are doing. Who you think does that to me?
White folks.
White
That's
people.
Right. Because, Keisha, if I was waiting on the black folks to buy me a bottle of water, I would die from thirst. Because
no, you're right about that.
Every reason why something is too expensive. Mm-hmm. And I oftentimes say to a girlfriend of mine, and we laugh, you know, I said, it's like black people don't read the newspaper, and they don't see me in it, or they don't want to say nothing. She said, they ain't buying the newspaper, they use their money to do weave. and we just joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
People, Keisha, don't limit you, honey. Don't limit you. I have a local TV show. I have this radio show that is global.
Uh-huh.
My guess, I get anybody on that has a story. I don't care about your color.
Uh-huh.
But again, the people who sends me an email to encourage me or call me on the phone to say thank you for that you said on the show. I have a gentleman who is 75 years old who is a supporter. He listens to my radio show. He's local here in Connecticut. If he's going out of town, he called me and tell me he won't be watching the show this week. He's going on vacation.
Okay.
He calls and he tells me if I wear a color that he doesn't like, he tells me. He forbids me to ever wear a turtleneck again. He doesn't want me. He doesn't want me to sit at the news desk. He said it takes away from my class and my personality. So when I walk in the studio and they have the news desk all ready for me to do a show, I say, no news desk. Because Charlie doesn't want me. They say, who the hell is Charlie? He doesn't miss a show. I said, when you all will miss a taping, he doesn't miss a show, so I got to do right by him.
True.
So it's just wonderful. I want to welcome guest 882 to the show. We are here now, and we are talking about expanding our horizon. You know that one of the questions I posed was, who should we connect with in doing business? And from where I'm sitting, I choose to connect to that individual who is willing to add value and to whom I can add value. Because when I get into a relationship, it's not about me. It's about me making a difference and impacting the other person.
That's
because
exactly
when
right.
I add value. I can't stop value and success from coming back at me.
True.
You know, Doc, so who do you think we ought to connect with?
First of all, because religion is killing people, the most important thing for every human being to consider when you look at the world, the status of the world, the state of our affairs here in the U.S., if there's any unbelief that there are universal laws operating whether you believe in them or not, we need to connect with our spirituality.
That's right, my sister.
That's because we are spirit first and human second.
And human after. That's right.
And if you want to embrace something that can turn into a profitable experience on the planet without focusing on money, you first have to identify a business that's going to be based solely upon doing what you love, what comes natural, because anything else becomes work. And we are here on the planet to play. We are not here to work, as the world teaches us work is.
That's right. You have to get up. You know, somebody said to me some time back, you're always so happy, you're always so excited. And I said, because every day when I wake up and realize that I have another day to make a difference in somebody's life,
yes,
I just get
so
excited. I get excited about it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, you know, Keisha, whatever it is that you're looking at as a business, I'm asking because it's more important that this be something, if you didn't have to worry about paying a bill forever again in life, whatever you're looking at as a business must be something that optimally brings you joy and that you would be embracing without the need to pay bills.
Right.
Yeah, I took that in account. But this is like my very first business where I'm actually creating the product and then putting it out on the market. So, and I'm hoping, as time go along, that I will soon go into that portion of the business that I really, right now I'm just kind of feeling my way out. So I just got to start a business, okay, just to see which way the universe will take me, because I'm not really sure if I'm going to be doing this, but it seemed it seems like the only way I can get my intentions out into the universe is by starting with this one particular business. Now, which way the universe will take me, I don't know, but I'm certainly open to the ride that, or the journey that this business will put me on. So,
Keisha, right language. That's good.
Keisha, can I stop you?
Yeah.
I don't think you answer what she asked.
No, I didn't. I didn't answer it at all.
That's right.
Because I don't really know.
And that's what. And that, if you don't know, you need to know, because when you're going on vacation, what do?
You plan.
You relax, chill, hang out.
No.
You plan.
When you're going on vacation, you work in a job now, right?
No. That's why I'm trying to get it.
You worked a job in the past?
Yes.
And when the month of January came in, what did you do?
What did I do? Start.
When you were on your job, and you after Christmas, and you went back to work in January, what were you doing? What were your thoughts?
What was I doing? Working.
And when you work, and February came, and March coming, and April and June, and May and June, what were your thoughts?
What was I doing?
What
Working.
Were your thoughts? What were your thoughts?
Man, I need to get out of this place. I can't stand this place.
What did that mean? What, getting out of that place, what was the end result of that? What does getting out of that place meant for you at that point?
Usually, either I quit or I get fired. That's how, and I've had quite a few jobs, and it got to that place within me where it was like, oh, I hate this place. And then either I get fired because your inner man speaks louder than what your mouth is saying sometimes. And or I get sick and I can't do this no more and I quit. So I know. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. For you came on this show this morning before I went live, and now I know what spirit brought you to me. I want to give you a gift. I'm giving you my phone number. I'm going to give you an hour. Is not a lot. However, I'm offering you an hour of free coaching. I want you to take my number and I want you to call me up. And all right, I'm going to give you, Spirit said 90 minutes. I'm going to give you 90 minutes of free coaching. You're not going to owe me anything. No obligation.
Okay.
But Spirit has just instructed me to offer you that. Call me at 860.
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. 1 second. Just hold on 1 second.
Yes, it's not too late for you to call in. 646-915-8166. We have 15 minutes remaining, and that's enough time for us to rock the world.
Okay, go ahead.
860-355-9838. Call me and I will set up an appointment with you to do a 90 minutes coaching at no cost to you over the telephone, Keisha.
Oh, that's perfect. All right. And your number is 860-355-9838, right?
9838. So
okay.
I don't want for you to say anything else now pertaining down the line that you were going. So
okay.
You will call me and I will set up the appointment with you.
All right.
I want to instruct you to begin doing the minute this show ends is to begin to love you like you have never loved you before. Know that you are precious, you are a gem, and you are the best thing that the universe has ever created. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
And we have that in common, Daphne. I say something very similar to people, and it makes them drop their bottom lip. I tell every human being on every show I go on that you are irrevocably indispensable and irreplaceable within the divine scheme, and until you believe it, you hold back all of your blessings.
That's right. That's right.
So we're
very much
on the same page with that energy.
We are. You know? When Spirit told me to talk to you off the phone,
mm-hmm.
and then you came on and made the other statement, I tell you, Doc,
mm-hmm.
I am one to be obedient to Spirit. I don't have to know why. I get an instruction. I just follow and do because
mm-hmm.
it's not about me. I'm a vessel. I'm a servant, you know?
That's right. We agree.
Mm-hmm. I am a vessel and a servant.
There's one thing for you to consider about anything you're going to do, and you're young enough that you may not know that in the old days, Hollywood, all movies in the old days were begun with the final scene. Whatever it is in your heart, whatever, number one, it has to come from your heart. It has to be something that's going to serve humanity beyond money.
If you begin
with the end in mind, if you crystallize a vision of the Bible, even though the Bible is a fictitious piece of crap that Rome created a million years ago, you understand there is some wisdom in it. And it says, write the vision. Call things that be not as though they were. You owe it to yourself to take what rises in your heart and
mm-hmm.
write a vision of what you expect your life to be.
That's right.
As you fulfill that. And once you crystallize that vision, step into it, smell the coffee, see the money, the Rolls Royce, the house, the clients, the websites, then
mm-hmm.
release it. The universe will give you the first step to take toward that.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You know, and give yourself a big old hug. No, not old hug, but a big hug that you were obedient in turning up this
mm-hmm.
morning.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not very often that someone who is not an invited guest to the show.
Mm-hmm.
comes on the telephone before
mm-hmm.
I go live.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a blessing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a blessing. She was directed and she turned up. And that's already successful because you know how to follow instruction, not only from human being, but from your intuition.
Yes.
And that's a powerful, powerful thing. So I want to give, we have 11 minutes going. I want to give you an opportunity to close with something positive, Keisha. Then I'm going to ask Doc to say something, and then we're going to close out this morning. I just want to thank you ladies for joining me, the people who came in the chat room, those who stayed and those who left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can come back to the archive. If it was not for you, it was not for you, but you can come back.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I'm going to tell you is that you'll find some lesson there that you can utilize.
Yes.
So, Keisha, I want for you to say something positive.
Okay. Well, I just have to say that whatever you're going through in life, you know, keep on at it. Until you get an answer from the universe, never give up on your dreams. Just keep on praying, because one day Spirit will present itself to you and all your dreams will come true.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Sister Doc.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to give you an opportunity. We have 9 minutes remaining. I want to give you an opportunity to say, I want to welcome guest 918 to the show. We are down to 9 minutes. But if you signed on and you have an intention to say something, you can either write it in the chat room for me, or you can feel free to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. So until that person responds, Doc, would you like to say something as a closing statement?
Yeah, we are at a crucial time with the planet, and people that aren't into high metaphysics or high spirituality are walking around still convincing themselves that there is no matrix, that the government is important, that the president has power, that Rome is... They're lying to themselves so badly. We are at a point where spirituality is the only thing that is going to save you from the system. We human beings have been rewired for heart intelligence. What that means is that mental intelligence alone will no longer sustain you on this planet. You have to be willing to look to your heart and overrule the crap that your mind keeps serving you up if you're going to find your way back to your spirituality, which holds your divinity, which thereby is your truth. But you're at a new place today where if your life is not reflective of the promises of God fulfilled, whatever you're calling God, you have to understand that you are responsible for that failure, not God, not the universe. It is you, because you have bought into the lies that the system has served you, your mother, your grandmother, for centuries. You're at a new point where you can be desire to take back your power. Desire comes into this planet with your soul. There is no desire of your heart that you cannot manifest. You have to acknowledge that you simply don't remember. And using other people will unearth your memory, unearth your power, unearth that which is required for you to get up, dust yourself off, and find your way through the abyss between every desire and the fulfillment. But you do require another human being that knows the path.
That is so powerful and eloquently said, because we cannot operate as lone rangers, especially as in entrepreneurship. You need someone else to be there with you. But be selective, because you need to be on one accord spiritually, because if you are not, it's going to be a turmoil.
That's right.
And instead of going forward, you're going to be hindering yourself.
I agree.
Like putting a boulder, the hugest boulder you can find, between you and your success. So be cautious as to whom you put in your inner circle. Everyone you meet can add value. It's just that they are at different stages. So I have learned to place the people that I encounter in three different circles. I have my inner circle, I have the middle, and I have the outer circle, which is the huge one. Everyone goes in there. And then there are some people who you can groom to get into the inner circle. But no one gets right into the inner circle right there, because that can be damaging. That can be damaging. So you got to be selective. Be cautious. Yes, we need money. Money is a substance. We need it to do what we have to do. But we need a healthy, balanced spiritual life. And when we focus on that, every truth will be made known to us. Every truth is going to be made known to you. So just be obedient. Be open. Be receptive. Be non-judgmental. And above all, be the best listener that you can ever be.
It's true.
Because when we listen and ask the right questions, we will get all the clarity that we need. Don't be too quick to give advice.
Very good. I agree 100%.
Be more quick to listen. So, again, I am so thankful for all the people who have blessed me with their presence today, whether you listen on the internet or you call in or in the chat room. Please join me on Facebook, be a subscriber, Twitter, be a member of the show so that you can be kept informed who I'm having on when. Remember, on Wednesdays, our focus is on education, inspiration and empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. On Sundays, we deal with life stories. We deal with embracing adversities, whatever it is about your life, you know, nutrition, spirituality, religion, all of that stuff we deal with on a Sunday. So if you have somebody that you want to hear from, let me have a pre-show conversation with them and we see where we can go again. It's always such a privilege for me to be on the broadcast, and I send forward gratitude to each and every one of you for your continuous support. I love each and every one of you, and guess what? Ain't nothing you can do about that.
That's true.
I am so thankful. I want to remind you that you are created with greatness, and I want to encourage you to follow your destiny. I'll be calling you Doc J. Doc.
Yes,
Doc.
Ma'am. A pleasure to meet you, and blessings to you, Keisha, as well.
Yes, my line is free.
All right, God bless.
God bless you, Keisha. Thank you.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. Trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
My destiny. You've been called to change names.